John Tamahere is with us today. And, of course, like everyone else, waiting to see how the cards fall. November the 3rd is the official day. But I thought it's timely to talk about what he might anticipate funding-wise into the Whānau Water Kaupapa. And also curious to get John's thoughts as well about the vote on the Auckland Council to turn their backs on the possibility of getting Māori constituencies or wards, and the abstention by the Mayor, Wayne Brown. A couple of kaupapa we might touch on. Thanks for joining us, John. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
Well, firstly, abstaining from that vote, I think it was 11-9, and so we sort of have to sit on the shelf waiting for another opportunity for better Māori representation in this city. Your thoughts there, please.
Oh, well, I thought Mayor Brown was gutless. If he had voted, it would have gone to a tie, and they would have needed further considerations. So that's point one. Point two is the iwi leaders of Tamaki Makaurau were reluctant to say anything. No one led. Out of the 19 iwi, only two made a submission on those wards. 17 determined not to. Mātāwaka groups, our urban Māori groups, are very vigorous in pursuing and pushing Māori endeavour. But we're going to have to start to wake the Mana Whenua group leaders up. Mana Whenua peoples in and of themselves are very good, and they're part of our whole operations across the whole of Tamaki Makaurau. But they're going to have to wake their leadership up, because I don't know what's wrong there, but they are deeply reluctant to stand up and have a say. And I suspect the reason for that is that the Independent Māori Statutory Board, where they get to appoint directly anyway, they might be comfortable with. I don't know the answer to that. You're going to have to ask some of them, Dale, because they can speak for themselves. The question will always remain, why didn't they put up any opposition?
Just continue on that, Kōrero. You're saying that Mātāwaka here in Tamaki are pretty active. I'm really surprised that 17 of the 19 Rōpū that... and of the iwi of Tamaki had an opportunity to lodge submissions but opted not to.
Well, yeah, well, that's something you have to put to them. But they make up 11% of the population, but for good reason have a far bigger say, as they should. But they don't have a say, if you know what I mean. You can't have a say if you're going to remain silent. That's the problem. So far be it from me to address that. People like you should ask that question of them. Why weren't they vigorous? And in fact, over the election, when people were looking at issues around treaty, issues around co-governance, silence again. So we're going to have to ask for some leadership to stand up soon, then later, as we move forward in the next 3 to 6 years.
Tēnā koe. Obviously, we can talk about the tautoko that you're giving to your newer MPs, but it is a frustrating period, this counting period. Does it frustrate you greatly that 3 weeks has to elapse before we can get a clearer picture of what's going on?
No, what frustrates me greatly is the way our people are treated at polling booths up and down the country, where they're pushed into special voting lines. A number of them signaled they wanted to vote on the Māori roll and were given general roll candidates only to vote for on the special rolls. Multiple lines of evidence are starting to come in. So we want a fair and equal election, and we want to be treated like non-Māori electors when they rock up to vote. That clearly does not occur. Not with the evidence that's coming in across the country. So Christchurch is one of the worst places, but we've got evidence in regard to a number of polling booths in certain areas where, clearly, I reckon, we won't know this until November the 3rd, but we'll just see how many so-called inverted commas invalid votes were cast. That just simply means a registrar or overseer at a polling booth determined that that native's vote wasn't going to count anyway for whatever reason. We've got to get a lot better at our people's right to vote. Now, a number of them don't vote because of the way in which they're treated at polling booths from previous times. And you just don't appreciate how bad it is until you've been treated like that yourself. If you don't have your easy vote, even if you have your easy vote card, it can be problematic, but that does get you through. But a lot of our people don't. Over a million people didn't anyway get their easy vote cards for whatever reason, in terms of changes of address, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got a problem there that we need to probably have a major inquiry into as to how Māori can be treated equally when they go to vote.
Okay, well, what we know is that the Party Māori are waiting the final results. What's actually happening in the meantime, John? How are you working with those who've already won seats to introduce them to Parliament? What sort of mucky is the party involved in this sort of hiatus that we've got between October 14 and November 3?
Oh, you plan, you have a strategic plan where you plan out your next 3 years. You're as good as, only as good as the policy that they went to the electorate and won votes on. If some of those policies are oppressive or going to be prejudicial or discriminatory to Māori, well, we have put processes in place where we continue to call that out over the next 3 years. The Party Māori has been very good in opposition. It's won more in opposition than not. The Green movement has as well. So it doesn't matter whether you're in opposition or government. What matters is what you're battering up for on behalf of your people. And often it changes the political narrative and the political discourse, whether you're in government or not. And so we'll be a far stronger opposition group in this parliament. And we'll just see how that plays out. We've got some extraordinary talent there with Hannah and Doc coming in. And, you know, so that takes the pressure off the two co-leaders. And if those two, anything to go by with the energy and the levels they brought in the last 3 years, doubling their capacity alone. We will come close in specials in Tāmaki Makaurau and in Taitokerau, no doubt about that. That's why these votes, which I've raised earlier, become extraordinarily important if it's close.
Tēnā koe, and it could well be. Whānau ora, obviously, you know, in your capacity as CEO at Waipareira, is an important vehicle for Māori empowerment. Have you any indication that there will be a sustained level of funding? Obviously, you'd prefer if there was a boost to it. What might we anticipate in the final water space, do you think, John?
Oh, no, we build in budgets which are into elections. So we've got a baseline that is built in. The only way you can lose the baseline is malperform, and our partners up and down the country running final water contracts never underperform. They're just outstanding, and they deserve greater recognition as a consequence through greater funding. But our baseline funding is protected with contracts heading into 2026. And then we just continue to perform, and we will. And then it's you don't destroy a policy or a program solely because it's too Māori, by Māori, for Māori. You destroy it if it's not performing. And there's a number of non-Māori in the bureaucracy as well as outside it that are receiving significant Māori dollars and not performing. So those dollar values must transfer across into our own hands.
Are you thinking of any protocols to offer some protection for your party reps? Well, especially Hunter, to be honest, and other Wahine Māori, bearing in mind some of the media attacks, etc., that we've witnessed over the past term?
Well, look, we're only as good as doing what we can do, but you can only treat people like animals for so long, and then they have to respond. And if the cops in Huntly weren't prepared to do anything other than pursue a trespass notice on a person, clearly they're advising communities that they're going to have to take the law into their own hands. That is not what should happen. So what should happen is that the police should police non-Māori the same as they do us, with the same vigour, and multiply charge us, they do, not just one, that there would be multiple charges on any person without consent entering the property, private property of somebody else. So we've got a major issue in regard to the way in which the police conduct themselves non-Māori and over when they come to us.
And on a positive note, we have reason to swell with pride at the efforts of our tamariki, and 45-odd teams are in whakatū this week, John. We also acknowledge Te Matatini and their contribution, but perhaps you've got some moho as well involved here. It's a wonderful showcase and is a stark reminder to our tamariki across the board of the importance of this dimension within Te Ao Māori, Māori performing arts history and abilities. Now, o whakaro, what are you thinking of Te Manakuratahi, which is on this week?
Well, look, it's a soft entry into starting. It's a soft entry into starting your Meonga Tikanga journey, and thousands of kids from Kōangata, all from early childhood education, all the way through to primary and secondary, start their Māori journey there. And it's not a demanding journey, because it's just part of now the furniture, and it wasn't for you and I. And they're affirmed in going and starting this journey. So I know multiple parents and grandparents out here in the West whose aspirations and inspiration for their reo and their whakapapa and that have started the journey through their mokopunas, not through them. And it's through the love of mokopuna that they have started on their journeys as well. So it's a bit like McDonald's. You know, you think you're taking the kids there, but they're really taking you. So the reality is that's what happens with our babies in their kapaka. When you look at your mokopunas up there, they bring huge pride to you, but huge pride to themselves and ourselves. And so it's one of those community building systems that we've got going out there that no one can suppress and that no one can turn around, because it's built on aroha, you see, of the mokopunas. And so it's a long time overdue because of COVID, but it's just going to take off as usual. And you know what? Here's the other beautiful thing about it. It allows our people to help fundraise, to help organise, to help connect. And what we have to do as a people in our own whenua is reorganise and out-organise others. That's what they've done to us. So we're on the road to a very good journey, and it's been led through exposing our mokopunas to the entitlement and the right of exposure to the tikanga.